Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And what's better? To be here with you, God's people. The Lord has drawn us here for a reason. Do you believe that? I believe that. Do we trust in man? No. We trust in God. Maybe I should say the amen thing first. Yeah, that's how it is with an interpreter.
Yeah.
I want to go before the Lord in prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, to call you my Father. And I'm so proud, Lord, to call everyone in this room and whoever may listen, my brothers and my sisters. Lord, you have something for us tonight. So I just pray that you will anoint my lips so that your word can speak fluently through them, Lord. And touch the heart of your people, Lord. I pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, there's more people here tonight. So I know a lot of people have traveled for many hours. And some are still on their way. And it's very humbling to see the effort and the desire of a believer to get to a place where they can fellowship with fellow believers. And we're not just here for the fellowship. We all have needs in our everyday lives. And since you are drawn here, it means you depend on God to tend to your needs. So that's what we're trusting tonight. We trust God. Amen.
Amen.
And I've been wrestling what, you know, when you put out a sermon, you want to put a title. And I've been going back and forth. So, but I think we will title it Romans 11. And there it says, if you read the New King James Version, for there is no partiality with God. There is no partiality with God. If you read the Old King James, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. And the New International Version says, for God does not show favoritism.
NIV,
so, when I have three translations, do you now get the picture of what Paul is trying to say to the Roman church? We can read from Romans, second chapter, and we'll just read some verses more.
Tizaverenga Aroma chapter 2 na ndime zo siana siana.
From verse 6.
Yambira pa ndime ya 6.
He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. The Jew first and also the
Greek.
But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. The Jew first and also the
Greek.
For there is no partiality with God. Now that's the word of God. So how does God treat his people? Does he treat us differently? Does God favor one above the other? I think we all here tonight know the answer. So this is not, I will not be dropping a bomb tonight. But we don't need to drop bombs for God to speak to our hearts. Because we're humans. And even though we want to do the right and think the right thing, our mind has a way of its own to wander, to judge. Like I talked about last night, we think things are less. In our mind, we think things are unimportant. And then God just flips things upside down to our carnal minds. And he creates something out of nothing. Yes, that's true. Now, if you go to Joshua chapter 5,
Joshua 5.
Now we're cutting into a story here now. Joshua is now leading the people of Israel. They have land to conquer. And so we will cut into from the verse
13.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?"
Sikulina, pamene Yoswa nali pafupi ndi Yeriko, anakweza maso wake ndipo madzidzidzi anaona munthu atayima patsogolo pake ndi lupanga losolola mdzanja lake.
So here,
anapita pamene apa nakumfunsa kuti ndipo iwe uli mbali yathu oloiya akuti yai sinili mbali ili yose.
Now when you are going to war,
ngati mulipita ku nkhondo,
You want soldiers with you, right?
Mafuna sirikali ukhala na imwe.
You want strong soldiers.
Mafuna asirikali olimba.
You want well-trained soldiers.
Mafuna asirikali wophunzisiwa bwino.
That always can think a step ahead of the enemy.
Amenanga ganize patsogolo pamdani.
And when Joshua ready to conquer land,
pamene Yoswa nali pafupi kugonjesa,
met this, I don't know, 6-foot soldier.
Anakumana naye msirikali mtali mkulu bwino.
With a drawn sword in his hand.
Rupanga yake yatoka kale mchi mali yoika.
It looked like the kind of soldier he would want to have in his army.
Uyanali msirikali wamenaoneka monga angafuna kuti ankhale mbali yao.
It also looked the kind of, it looked like a kind of soldier
anaoneka monga msirikali
that he would not want to lead the enemy's army. You get the picture here. He was very curious. Are you going to fight on my side?
Iwe, uzamenya nkondo kumbali yanga?
Or are you going to fight on their side?
Olo uzamenya nkondo kumbali yao.
Will you favor me?
Uzakondera ine.
Or you will you fail favor the king
Olo uzakondera amfumu
of the land
Amaro
that God has given to me to conquer?
Yamene Mulungu watipasa ife kuti tigonjese.
And what puzzled my mind here was his answer. No. His answer was no. Why did he start with no? He was not Joshua's commander. And he was not the enemy's commander. No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now, if Joshua was not on the Lord's side, he would be nervous. But since he knew, but I am on the Lord's side. I've been brought to the border by the Lord, ready to conquer, ready to take a portion of a land that I, Joshua, and my brother Caleb were ready to conquer 40 years ago. He's been ready for 40 years. But the people of Israel were not. They disobeyed God. And I think like that. I don't know about you, but I seem to often think that God's on my side. I feel His presence. I'm filled with His Holy Spirit. And I'm not doubting it. God is on my side. God is on my team. He's not on the enemy's team. But with that mindset, I can also be in a position where I will call an other child of God, my enemy. Well, then who is God with? If it's a child of God. So that the Lord and what I'm saying now is really what I want you to remember from this sermon today. God is not on my side. I'll say it again. God is not on my side. But I better be on His side. God doesn't favor me. More than he favors this brother here. Or more than he favors when I look upon as my enemy. Because our ways split apart. We went separate ways. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2.
Exodo 2.
I will start read from verse 1.
Exodo 2, tiambira pandimi yoyamba.
Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. I'm okay. Then the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. You can read that.
Ndipo munthu wina wa fuko la Levi anakwatira mkazi wa fuko lomwelo. Mkaziyo anatenga patupi ndipo anabereka mwana wa mwamuna. Ataona kuti mwanayo anali wokongola, anambisa kwa miezi itatu.
So he was not an ugly child, was he?
Sana li mwana waonekedwe oipa.
Has anyone of your sisters given birth to an ugly child? No. Every child born into the world is beautiful. And it melts a mama's heart. And when you put that child in the hands of the daddy, it melts the daddy's heart. And you say, oh my beautiful baby. Now, different translations here says fine child, beautiful child, or goodly child. And goodly means pleasing to the sight, or excellent, or handsome. But also it means desirable, or possessing moral and spiritual excellence. Because how can you say that someone is more beautiful than other children? They're just a newborn. God favors Moses. God picks favorites. But what does God have as a quality or an attribute that you and I don't have? He's omnipresent, isn't he? God knew every step Moses would make for his whole life. And he saw an obedient servant. And he saw one that would stand up to Pharaoh, unafraid, and shout out to him, let my people go. He saw that he would be obedient till the day he died. He saw that there would be no meeker man upon the earth than Moses. And that's not why he favored him. But that's why he chose him. For a calling. For a purpose. You could say a higher calling. And that's like God said in the beginning. When he looked at what he had created. And and he saw that it was good. It was very good. Why? Was it beautiful creatures? Was it beautiful lions and zebras? And children that he had created? He saw in every age there were obedient children. He saw when time came that he would send his only begotten son. He would be obedient. He would suffer the death on the cross. He would set his own life at stake to save the whole world. What's more beautiful than that? He saw every child that would make a choice and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Either as a prophecy in the Old Testament or to suffer with him as an apostle or a disciple of him. Or you and me here tonight, that we would accept Christ and we would take part of that family of God that he would fellowship with. For how long? For how long? Who knows the answer? 1,000 years?
Zaka 1 pin mwina.
1,000,000 years?
Zaka 1,000,000.
For all eternity.
Koma muyayaya onse.
That's beautiful. Every son and daughter in that kingdom to come is God's favorite. Amen.
Amen.
The price is paid.
Maripiro analipira.
And in Acts chapter 7, it's just referring to the same verse. So I'll just quote it. At this time, Moses was born. And he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. The same verse you read in Hebrews 11:23. And I will just quote it. By faith,
Moses,
when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, every Israelite was afraid of Pharaoh's edict because they knew they had nothing they could fight him with. When that soldier of Pharaoh comes with his sword to take my dear firstborn child, there's nothing I can do. They were ripped out of the hands of the mothers. And slaughtered. So that means God must have spoken to Moses' parents. This one is special. Now that's not fair. The family next door, their firstborn was ripped out of the mother's hands. But here Moses' mother was able to wrap him, put him in a basket, and send him on the Nile. Because he was beautiful. He was favored. No. God needed a deliverer. God needed someone that would stand up against Pharaoh. And out of every child in Egypt, of an Israelite child, God knew only one of them is capable for the job. And that's this little boy. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 4. Jonathan. Verse 25.
Luke 4:25.
But I tell you truly,
Nikuzan machonadi,
many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But not one of them was Elijah sent to except Sarepta. In the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. The more I read to you different situations from the Bible, the more it seems to contradict Romans 2:11. Every situation you have read now seems God is favoring someone. What was so special about this widow? What was so special about Naaman? The effect of what came out of the miracle that God did for them. It's in the Bible, isn't it? And God knows knew and He knew up the road what these examples would do for the ears that later would hear them. Amen. So God favors a calling as long as He sees that He can make use of that calling. And I believe a potential to a calling is in each and every one of you here tonight. Don't rule yourself out. Don't say, but not me. I could never do anything for the Lord. I could never have a testimony that could touch anyone else. Well, remember what I said last night. It is not for you nor I to decide what is enough for the next ears that will hear whatever you have to share. Because it's not their ears you're talking to. It's their heart. And God is searching day and night. Isn't that what the scripture says? Day and night. For a sinner that will convert, that will be convicted, that will turn to Him. We're still here. God hasn't given up on this generation. God saw that they would rise a new generation. They need the gospel. So search your own heart. Lord, what are you speaking to me? And search your heart. Lord, what are you trying to compel me to do? And have your spiritual eyes and ears open so that you can be attentive to what direction God is leading you and sending you. Then you are a beautiful child of God. Then you are someone God will favor. Just like Moses. Just like that widow that got her miracle. Just like that general Syrian
Roman.
He didn't have a special testimony that made him better than any other Syrian. But he was a noble man. High rank. High position in his kingdom. And to get his healing, God had to bring him so low. He had to do something so simple that it didn't impress anyone. Who is impressed by someone being dipped 7 times in a river? That's why he got angry. I will not do it. I want something more difficult. Something he could probably brag about. And say, you won't believe how hard it was. But I was able to manage. So now I am healed. Praise me. That's what it will do if we are called to do a difficult task. But if we're asked to do something so small, something so insignificant, we can't brag about it. Then we have to brag on God. And we have to say, well, I didn't do it. I just got wet. Again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, 7 times. And that was it. And that's how I'm healed. But to a Syrian, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. Our rich doctors, they have different methods than that. Well, they couldn't heal me. I've tried everything. So I had to go to this prophet in Israel. And he didn't even heal me. He wouldn't even come and talk to me. He just sent a servant and told me to get wet in an Israeli river. Well, who do you honor then? Well, I tried to honor the prophet by offering him something. They wouldn't take it. So then I learned something. It's the Creator that did it. The Creator of the universe. He's actually the real genuine God. And here we have our pagan gods and our pagan temples and we know they're not doing anything for us. So he had to go to one of these pagan temples to worship the God of Israel. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's God. Amen. So that's the God we serve. That's a God that has power. And when God makes us go through certain things in life,
Mulungu akatipitisa muzinthu zosiyana siyana mumoyo.
And it seems so unreasonable for our minds.
Chimaoneka kuti nchovuta kuti nzeru zathu zinvesese icho chinthu.
But that's only when we stay in our flesh.
When we
depend on the things of the natural, God is not a natural God. He's a spiritual God. God is not just there. If you feel His presence in the corner, everybody would run to this corner. I want to feel His presence. Oh yes, I feel the presence of God. Everybody come to the corner. He's here. No, He's all over. He's filling you in your seat right now. And we're not fighting, brothers and sisters, are we? We're not fighting our neighbors. In Ephesians 6, it tells us what we're fighting and wrestling. We'll start to read in Ephesians 6 from verse
10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Have you felt that? Have you felt that you're fighting spirits sometimes? You hit a wall. And you cannot break through. But there's no wall there. And it's easy if we could blame a brother or a sister or a colleague at work or a classmate at school or the terrible neighbor next door. Now, this verse eliminates all of that. It doesn't matter what anyone does to you. It does not relieve you. There's no excuses for that. Because there is a devil that knows time is short. And he's working. And he's fighting. And he's the one putting up these walls before us, isn't it? And you say, well, I kind of helped. I kind of helped him. Because I was disobedient. Yes. We can be blamed for a lot of things that we do. And we can push ourselves down. And we can think ourselves out of the will of God. But no matter what you did, there's still an architect behind it. And he's a liar from the beginning of. He's a truth twister from the beginning of. When he's able to sneak in to the serpent in the garden and just change one word and put a knot in there, you will not surely die. if you partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. But even though God had already spoken, so the devil, he knows every trick in the book because he made that book. And his demons has been on this earth as long as longer than mankind. So they are well trained. They have tested their methods on every generation from Adam till now. So the devil, he will outsmart you and me. He has an advantage when it comes to tactics. But if you are a Holy Ghost filled son and daughter of God, he does not stand a chance. You don't need no tactic book. You just need to drop down on your knees and surrender right away as fast as you can. Don't hold on to things. Let it go. Run to the altar and say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. Father, I don't know if I'm even saved. The Father will say, you've come to the right place. We can fix it now. There's no steps in God to be saved, to be delivered. Acts 2:38 is one verse in the Bible. And I believe everyone in this room can quote, stand up on the, from their seat and quote it. It's a promise. And it's not favoritism. It's obedience. Who wants to stand up and quote Acts 2:38 for me? Anyone? Any volunteers tonight? Come on, brother. Brother Shell.
Mbale Shell.
So it says,
repent
every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Thank
you.
Amen.
How many believes that verse? Is it true? Is it an act on our hand in this verse? Is there an act on our side to this verse? An action? Does God require something of us? He does. He requires repentance. Not a theoretical repentance. Not, oh, I think maybe I should repent. If I do an analysis, yeah, it seems best for me to repent. No, conviction. Conviction. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Deliver me. Save me. I'm heading for eternal hell. Help me. Save me, Lord. And you don't have to cry like I did now in this illustration. You didn't even have to open your mouth. But your heart has to cry out. Because that's what God, this is where God is looking. And when a cry comes out from the heart, right away, the answer is there. Yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. I receive you. And there's a an other action you want me to do, Lord? I see there's baptism in the name of Jesus Christ here. Where's water? I want to be baptized. And you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's when you set in motion the promise of God. It doesn't say then you might get the Holy Ghost. What did he? Did the brother say? Shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Have you experienced that? Have you experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
If not, do something about it. And if you have followed the two simple steps, God is obligated to fill you with His Spirit. He's obligated. So is this hard? Is this difficult?
So ichinchinducho vuta.
Search your heart now.
Onani mitima yanu sopano.
Am I sure?
Ine mwacho nadi nina chizindikiro
mtima. Lord, do I have the Holy Spirit?
Ine mzimu era nirinao kodi.
If that is a question,
ngati yondiye funso.
It can be answered tonight.
Inga yanki werero.
It can.
Ikozo yanki.
And the best thing,
chinducho chikuru,
is to get that answer tonight.
Right?
Like I said yesterday. And I will say it every day. Because your life depends on it. It's about where you want to go. It's about whom you want to serve. Who do you love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? So that everyone that believes in Him shall not perish, but have, amen, everlasting life. Now when does that end? There's no end. Praise the Lord. I'm trusting my salvation in that. Because I didn't do any saving. God did the saving. And I followed the steps. And He fulfilled His promise by filling me with His Holy Spirit. Let Him fulfill that promise to you too. If you're not certain about it. Amen.
Amen.
So God is looking for obedience.
Mulungu alufuna okonka.
And it's best not to be disobedient to God. You will face wall after wall after wall after wall. Because it is not you searching God. It is God searching you. And it is not you finding Him. It is He finding you. And if there's people here of every age tonight. There's someone in the arms of mommy that don't speak many words. And there's someone who has been on this earth for several decades. And if time would tarry, the Lord will take them home. God has seen your life from the hospital bed in the crib as a little baby, a newborn baby, till your life goes in the grave. And that's the time you have to make your choices in life. And the thief on the cross
showed us that God will accept us even up to our last breath on this earth. That's how big the grace of God is. So then by that we understand it doesn't matter what we've done. Because that thief first mocked Jesus together with the other thief. Until he realized something. He saw something. He really is the Son of God. And he knew he was nothing like anyone that would be called upon by the Son of God. So he didn't ask to go. He just said, "Remember me." That was conviction.
Amen.
He didn't have time to get baptized. But the words of the Master was, "Surely today you will go with me in paradise." And it's important that we get the same words. Amen.
Amen.
And if we just rewind back to where I started, are you for me? Or are you for my enemies? Like I started out saying, we've all, probably most of us, have had that thought. God has to be with me. Now, we have a tendency of putting labels on people, don't we? What church do you belong to? What is your pastor's name? What name is your denomination? And if they tell you the name?
Church.
Yeah, you're not impressed. Because there is more truth than what this denomination teaches. Surely God cannot be with you. Because he's with my branch. Have you thought that thought before? I know I'm getting a bit serious now. I'm not trying to put a blockage here now. But this is sobering to search our hearts, to search our minds. How do we look upon another believer? Are we able to think that God could be in the midst of a people that are in another branch or even in a denomination? Now this is scary ground, isn't it? But does God put labels on people? No, people put labels on people. And of course, a denomination, everybody knows, cannot lead anyone to heaven. A doctrine on the wall, this is what we believe,
is
not going to lead anyone to Christ. It's an individual walk. God doesn't call the group, and most surely he doesn't call a denomination. We know that.
God calls individuals. You're not safe by coming in through this door. You're only safe when you have followed the steps that our brother Shell has just read. And that you have certain that God fulfilled His promise in your life by filling you with His Holy Spirit. That comes first. And I had an experience
Ninapitamo
16 years ago.
Zaga 16 zapita hapo.
And it's a process.
Nichopitamo.
Life is a process, right?
Umoyo nichindu chopitamo.
Till the day God takes us out of here.
Mpakati kwa mene mulungu azati chosapa no pamalo.
We will still be learning.
Tizapiti zizakala tikalupunzira.
We're never fully learned. And I remember myself in a younger version of myself. Because I believe that I've had the Holy Ghost for at least 40 some years. And no one can come to me and make me doubt that. Why? Because there was no person there when God convicted me. And when God did the actual filling, it's between me and God. But also growing up in a church, there's a lot of things to learn. Even though every Bible story, I can tell you pretty much every one of them. And it's not to brag. It's just because I've been taught well in Sunday school and in church by my father, by my mother, by fellow ministers. And I was in a place for school, and it was for the weekend. So when Saturday came, I had nothing to do. The rest of the class was going out to drink. Have a good time. So I searched the internet. Is there a church I could go to? Is there anyone having a church service tonight? And the only church that had service that Saturday evening, I believe they're a Lutheran group. And I said, well, I'll go. But I'm not going to get anything. I'm entering in through a Lutheran church. But when the worship started, all of a sudden, a certain song was played. Holy, holy, holy is the God, Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come. And as that song was being played, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. And I started to worship. And a certain brother came to my heart. He's actually a Nigerian brother that was taken to our church in Norway, a refugee. And, we spent a lot of time together. And he loved that song. And as I was, but he had to flee the country of Norway as well, because they disapproved his application for asylum. They didn't believe his story. So he fled over to Sweden. And I knew he was in Sweden at that time. And I was so feeling so I was interceding on behalf of him. Lord, I'm praying for my brother who now is in Sweden. And I feel a vibration in my pocket. As I am worshiping and praying for this brother. And I hadn't seen him in a long time, maybe a year. Not heard from him. And I take up the phone. It's him trying to call me. And I just ran out of the service to the bathroom. And I said, "Brother, I can't believe it. It's you. They're playing your song. Actually, it's in a place I don't feel at home at, but God is here. And I was praying for you. I was interceding for you. How are you?" And you know, that made an impact on me. And it made an impact on him. And he called to tell me he's doing well now. So, God works in every church, any church building. And anyone who calls upon him, he will hear. No matter where they are. Because God is not a God, a respecter of persons, as it says in the King James. He favors hearts that cries out to him wherever they are. And God has a path for each and every individual on this earth. We all have to take different paths, different routes, right? But when you come home, oh, how glorious it is. I came in this door tonight, and I only know a handful of you in this room. But the praise and worship service you have here tonight, I'm home. This is my people, Lord. They're worshiping you like I worship you. They love you just as much as I love you. And the Lord is pouring his spirit upon this congregation. And we must be attentive. We must listen. We must watch. Lord, what are you going to speak to my heart today? What do you want from me today, Lord? And that's you and the Lord. No matter what building you're in, but it sure does feel good when we're out in a building with the people of same spirit, not driven by denominational spirits. Amen.
Amen.
Let God rule in our lives and let him lead us. And let him take us wherever it is he's going to take us. And only God knows what the next step will be. Will you want to take the next step that God puts before you? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight.